Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Please welcome one of my favorite guests, Lydia Popovich.
Pow, 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 pow. Wow, what an intro. Oh, my God. It's so rare that somebody introduces me and really gets it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, and really understands the crux of my personality, which truly is guns, Dolly Parton, and weed. Like that, I think, as I'm saying.
And 90 Day Fiancé, too.
And 90 Day Fiancé. Oof, don't get me started on that.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
We're all just intersecting today.
I need a family crest, you know what I mean? Which is like a big wig, a big blunt, and like an AK, and then like a television set, and maybe like some fries. Like that, I think that is like just all the way across
the board.
Lydia,
we've just met, but maybe I'm in love with you. I don't know. It might be happening. Yeah. I might be falling right now.
Oh, I get it. It's a wig draped on top of a television set, and underneath are like two crossed guns.
You know, even better.
Like that kind of thing.
Even better. With nachos like and french fries just crowded around it.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Perfect. I'd love to see it. What's new, Lydia?
Man, you know, not a lot, and then everything. Good. You know
great.
How it works?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been, since we last talked, I've been continuing my quest to be chill, mm-hmm. my quest just to settle in, my quest to mm-hmm. give as little fucks as possible about things that don't impact my life directly. Mm-hmm. Always proselytizing Miss Dolly Parton, trying to get the word out. That is one of my main purposes on this life, in addition to making people laugh, is making sure that everybody understands and realizes that Dolly Parton will change your life, and that you need at least a sliver of her magic in your world to shine on your face, that you know that everything's going to be okay. Because she is a living, breathing, walking angel on this earth, blessing us with gifts every day, even when you don't know it. Dolly Parton is doing something for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You're going to find out.
Ooh, wait, let's see it.
This is my brand new tattoo.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what's it say?
It says, what would Dolly do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And then it's got like a cowboy rope with two stars, but it's titties.
Evoking.
It's titties.
The breasts.
I love it.
Wonderful.
Because, I mean,
how long did that take?
How long did it take for that?
Actually, it was pretty quick. It was like maybe an hour, hour and 15. Yes. Dave was cooking with gas. Yeah.
Okay.
Handsome Sweets out of Nashville. He's amazing. Check him out. Wealth and Taste, okay. Nashville. He's amazing. Great tattoo artist. Yeah.
Aaron, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, this one's juicy. Are you two ready?
I hope so.
This really explains my entire life in one click of a search history. Is that something? I don't know. I haven't had enough coffee. Okay, this happened like last night, but again, I searched it again this morning. I searched the sentence, is Samantha Kerr and Christy Mewis dating?
Yes.
Wow.
Because now, if you don't know who those women are, get ready to have your mind blown. Samantha Kerr is the Australian women's national team best player, football, soccer, but over there they call it football. Who cares?
Yeah.
Christy Mewis made our U.S. women's national team this year. She's a phenomenal NWSL player. And icing on the cake, her sister plays, Samantha Mewis. So it's like this amazing dream team sister soccer. So last night, I'm just doing my Olympic, you know, recount just to make sure I've got, I mean, I've just literally watched Olympics 24 hours a day for the last 2.5 weeks. It was just the greatest thing ever. Just crying, feel good, crying. Yeah. You know, cheering for everybody. I'm not like
crying,
a U.S.
crying,
pig.
Crying for all the COVID, just spreading, crying.
Everyone's getting sick and dying. Gold medal. China. Then I stumble on a picture of Christy Mewis. No idea if she was gay. Maybe she's not. Maybe she just likes ladies this week. I don't care. Samantha Kerr, big homo. I'm a big homo, so I can say that. They're kissing. They released it on Instagram. And Aaron Foley's mind was blown.
Ooh.
Blown! Yes!
So what? I mean, what?
I mean,
what do we do with this? Were you even shipping them before? Did this just blow you up? Because you're like, I didn't even think this.
First of all, Samantha Kerr has had a long-term partner. They have a kid together. I don't know how this is going to work logistically.
Oh gosh. Oh boy. Oh goodness.
Then I didn't even know they broke up. Then they broke up. Christy Mewis. She just looked so straight to me. So I was like, then my mind was blown, which is so stupid to say because who looks gay and straight? But you know what I mean? As a lesbo, you're like, that one's a lesbo.
Christy
Mewis did not see that one coming. So I'm so happy right now. We've got like this cross. Samantha Kerr is like just a dream sequence on the soccer field. I fear her the most when we play Australia.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're dating.
The Matildas, right? Isn't that what
the Matildas.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy for them. I'm cheering for them. And it just like the world getting a little gayer, it just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Real life L word drama here. This is exciting.
So
do you think under the surface, do you think that there's, you know, you said she has a partner who she has a, like they're raising a child together with? Like, do we know the timing? Is it messy? Is it sloppy? I don't know.
I hope it's all okay.
That's where my trash TV brain comes in. I'm like, tell me it's a mess. But
it's women, so it's probably going to be a little messy.
A little bit of a mess. Light mess.
I used to have this thing where, you know, like it's all like, you know, it was an old joke, but really it's based on the truth. Like men, you know, they just gay men just run into a bar and stick it in. Right. But women, like our app would be called like On the Verge, where you got an update of two women on the verge of breaking up because lesbians are single for 35 seconds and then you swoop down on them like a bird of prey and you just pick one up from the house.
Yeah. All that checks out.
So. Right.
So it should be called rotting flesh, right? If you guys are these carrion birds, then it's like there.
On the verge is more positive, Miles.
Yeah, I'm
than
sorry.
The rotting flesh.
That's
flesh,
where my grinder mind comes in, where I'm like, grinder.
Bro.
You know what I mean? I'm like, what about rotting flesh? What about necrotic tissue?
Lesbians are not on grinders.
Yeah. Okay. But good to know. Right. So
I feel like it's a little messy.
In.
They're swooping in. So I feel like they're both single for 35 seconds. I'm going to say I'm going to vote for messy. I don't know, but if I was betting, I'd say I'd bet on a mess.
Appropriate pun considering, you know, Lionel Messi, big in the news also.
Not sad.
Barcelona. Shout out to the Mets.
Shout out to Paris for getting that guy.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to them for flouting every financial fair play rule there is to be like, we have Neymar, Mbappe, now we have Messi. Don't ask how we can afford it. Okay.
Unimportant.
Yeah, we'll just put one of our board members on the head of the club council and UEFA, and then maybe they'll just sort of, I don't know. That's
super
what it
group.
Is.
Super group.
Yeah, definitely a super group.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I'm going to use this as like a personal manifesto moment for a second. I'm going to try to put this into the zeitgeist. The 12-foot skeleton is overrated.
Wow.
Because I want one.
I don't.
Okay. And it's, I was at a Home Depot yesterday and I saw it in the rafters and I asked, hey, can I have that? And they would not give it to me. Yes. They've been delivered at the Home Depots, but they haven't
on the floor yet.
They're not on the floor yet. So I
thought you meant like you saw it creeping around on the ceiling.
Oh, I wish.
Hey, didn't I get that one? Oh, okay. You don't want that. That's Bill. He used to work here. Now he haunts the rafters as a skeleton.
Rafters like some Phantom of the Opera show.
Yeah. So I'm putting it out there. 12-foot skeleton is overrated. It is.
It's
hacked. Don't get it. Especially at the Glendale Home Depot. Don't even try to go there and sweet talk a manager into giving it to you early.
Not gonna work.
No, it's bullshit. It's stupid.
Or the Burbank one by the 5 freeway. I hear they're plumb out of them. But yeah, anyway.
Exactly.
You've been pretty consistent with your love of 12-foot skeleton, if I recall correctly, no?
I love them so much. There's one in my neighborhood nearby that they dress it up for a different costume for every holiday all year long. It's so funny.
Oh, it's a consistent skeleton display?
Yeah, it's just been consistently up all year. It's so funny looking. It brightens my day every time I see it. Me and my neighbor want to put one in our yard, and we're going to put one mini golf hole underneath of its feet so you can shoot.
Oh, I love it.
Put right into it. But I need to get one this year. I'm in a 12-foot skeleton Facebook group because they're so hard to get. I want one so badly.
And you can't buy them online, right? Because they're hard to ship.
They're completely sold out online to the point that, and they were also limited to 2 per order because they're showing up on eBay for 5 times what they're actually worth. And they even took down the link from the website because they aren't going to stock them online anymore. So now you can only get them at the store, and each store only has 8 to 10 of them because they're such big boxes. So you have to know the day that they drop on the floor.
Yo, Zeit Gang, help her out. I know somebody, and look, I get Home Depot, the owner of the company, not the greatest guy, but if you got the inside track, please help Brandy out.
Yes. Yeah, please.
You deserve a 12-foot skeleton.
Thank you. Look, it's the only thing. I go to Lowe's for everything else. I promise I do. I hate Home Depot. I just want a goddamn 12-foot skeleton. That's all I want.
And they got the market locked, huh?
You
can't go anywhere else. I think this is something the Senate needs to take up. It sounds like some kind of a monopoly.
Chuck Schumer, ring, ring.
Yeah.
Come on.
Suddenly they're into antitrust shit because it's the lowest stakes. And it's just basically being no, Home Depot can't be the only place that does it. See, we know what fairness is.
I'm going to get Diane Feinstein on the phone and be like, you like skeletons because you are one. I got a 12-foot skeleton.
What? I have melanin? Oh, no. Never mind, Diane. Never mind.
What's something you think is underrated?
All right, underrated. And then I'm going to let you guys know, I wrote one thing that I think is under and overrated simultaneously.
Ooh,
perfect.
Underrated, liking popular stuff. That's all right.
Liking popular
you could like Marvel stuff. TV shows. You could the stuff that everyone likes. That's fine. Keep doing it. You could I can't think of music. You could Lady Gaga was going to be my example. Billie Eilish, there you go. Lady Gaga, how old am I? But, it's fine.
You can like Billy Joel.
Yeah, you guys could like the popular stuff. You guys could like Elvis. You guys could like this new artist, Dolly Parton. You could like whoever, but it's fine. Just like the popular stuff. It's fun to like because then you get to talk about it with everybody. You could like the NBA Finals, watch the NBA Finals and like the thing with everybody. It's fun.
What's a specific thing that sort of inspired this
designation? I think it was
everyone underrated.
Was immediately turning on, and I haven't watched the new Marvel, but everyone's turning on the Marvel TV shows, and there is a lot of comic book stuff, and it's but that's okay because everyone likes it, and it's kind of a nice story. And, there's probably a reason that we're turning to a fantastical version of our own world that does get saved.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a reason that we're all excited about thinking there's some sort of one thing that can save the world. And, that's all right. Let them keep making it. People like it enough. It's fine.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it tells us something about people when it's popular.
That we feel absolutely powerless. And
some great work of art that nobody pays attention to.
I mean, there's definitely something to everyone's fascination right now. the fact that superheroes are so popular is clearly something's going on with everybody.
Yeah.
Right. It's all of our parental issues, our feelings of hopelessness, all wrapped into one.
It's got to be something to, you watch a superhero thing and it's completely out of your control and something you've never seen shows up and fixes it. And you're just like if there was like a Marvel what if, like that's their show, right? The new one where it's hypotheticals that they, other stories, like a Marvel what if where like Tony Stark fixes climate change or something like that. And he's just there, like, oh, I found this actually this new carbon filter. I think that's sort of what everyone is like. There's got to be like
that thing. Where's that
unknown
thing?
Science or an unknown entity like Thor or something that just shows up.
And sadly, like, right. There's only been known science that's been telling us for decades. Right.
I know. I think everyone, some sort of like reverse magnifying glass.
Right.
Something that could make it a little cooler. Like
a big old fan or something. I don't know. Maybe.
There's that Simpsons where they blot out the sun.
You know what's funny, though? I feel like if there were in an MCU film, like part of the story was about humanity taking this, like just gigantic undertaking of like changing human global infrastructure to combat climate change is like a narrative that like that little bit of imagination would kind of be like, so we got to work together to do something radical to save our planet. Let's keep going with this. With this.
But then they'd have to have the devil's advocate in there because you got to have them.
Right.
That's a necessary thing that makes everything better is someone making sure the devil has a seat at the table.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, who's advocating for the devil here?
Right. He couldn't really make concerned. It. He couldn't make it. He tried to call in, but he's in a tunnel right now.
Right. I don't know. This feels really wrong to be having these conversations without Satan present. But
or even a proxy, if he could even just have a proxy here,
even if someone can give us a phone that we can, he can text into and I can just act as an agent for on his. Okay, whatever.
I remember I felt okay about climate change for like a month when I read there was like this, I think it was Freakonomics. The Freakonomics guys were like, you know, people used to think that the end of the world was coming because of horse shit being everywhere. And then they invented the car. So we'll just have like some invention that's going to like save us. And they used like the example of putting things in the atmosphere that like reflect the sunlight back. And then like a few months later, Snowpiercer came out in which like that very thing is like the idea that turns into like a ice planet apocalypse.
Right.
Like,
the catalyst that pushes us beyond any return.
What's your overrated and underrated thing?
So I wrote nuance. I thought nuance was underrated at first. And I was like, you know, because we spend so much time online. Everyone's like hyper online, especially now feels like super hyper online. And there seems to be no nuance. But really, then you meet a person in person. There's like nuance involved. And then I was like, nah, maybe there's no nuance. Just get a vaccine. I don't care. Because then I start thinking about, you listen to all these people who are anti-vax folks, like will be like, well, and this happened with this and this. And if there's like some tiny nugget of truth involved in something that becomes like the pulled thread of not getting a vaccine, then I'm like, nah, there's no nuance. Just get the vaccine. I don't care if you're grasping onto the tiny end of the straw at the bottom of that. It's not relevant.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't figure out where to put nuance. And so instead we talked about the crown for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Natalie Schur, who's one of my favorite like kind of reporter, researcher people, and just a great follow on Twitter, was pointing out that there are like a small number of people who like can't get the vaccine, but like there's also a lot of people who are claiming they can't get the vaccine based on like junk science and basically like within the world of chronic diseases, like there's a lot of junk science being circulated. And so like almost everybody can get the vaccine. Like there's a thing about live, like if there's a live vaccine, like a live culture in the vaccine that is like not compatible with people who have like immune issues, but this is not one of those. So like that it's actually like basically everybody can get it.
Because in synthetic RNA.
Right.
With a nanolipid layer. Jack, do you know what happens after 3 months or 3 years with that nanolipid layer?
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that tweet that was blowing
we're
up.
We're making a TikTok that's going to get stitched.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm learning about TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I
definitely
just, you know,
do deeper research and wait. Not, don't do research, actually. Reach out to a doctor and...
Your research should be finding the smartest person who's devoted their life to this and trusting them. That's a lot of my frustrations lie in this sort of like no longer having a favorable outlook of education. And it seems very bizarre to me. And I have jokingly said, but I honestly think if you distrust... So the nugget of nuance, if someone's like, I don't trust the government, I kind of get that. But if you're using that to not get a vaccine, then I'm like, actually, there's no nuance. Just get the vaccine. It doesn't count.
Right, right.
I have said in jest and honestly believe if you hate teachers and you hate nurses and you don't trust doctors and science is fake, what do you want your kids to be?
Right.
What are they supposed to do? What do you want your kid to like also just like have a hateful YouTube channel? Like I just want it to be... Or like, and we didn't go to space and the moon is fake. And I just don't understand, like, where, what are the jobs? What do you want your kid to possibly be doing besides just being angry like you? And I don't think you can like yell at a barista on for work. So
right.
Doesn't pay that well.
I don't understand.
Maybe he'll get a sponsorship from Black Rifle Coffee to yell at people in public spaces. I don't know. I mean, I think to your point about education, right? Like we've done such a great job of making it impossible for people to get educated, that by virtue of that becoming the only way into the middle class or having any kind of upward social mobility in most instances, that that's just created a natural resentment for it. And without understanding that by design, many people are being shut out of the opportunity to be educated. So then it just turns into this thing over time of being like, well, that's for these fucking people who think they're so smart. And that's like truly, we're seeing like all of the machinations and the manifestations of like this very concerted effort to defund public education, because now it's become so unattainable, people fucking hate it. And now you have people on TikTok just say, or wherever, claiming to know all this shit or whatever and be so contrarian because, you know, that's just the way that this cruel fucking society is set up too. So just like at every turn, you're like, oh my God, everything's just a reflection of how we're failing people.
It really seemed like it could just fester just below the surface as long as we didn't need everyone to agree on something ever again.
Right.
And unfortunately we do. And even the way that conversations happen about it is so wildly frustrating because it's almost like robots are having the conversation. So I saw the video that I think you were referencing where it's like someone giving this crazy, terrible information, like a scientist.
Where there's like porn playing in the background.
And a scientist is sort of like, then there's like it's like stitched next to one of them with a scientist who's saying that's true. This is not like fact checking it. But you read, and I hate this, like you read the comments on the scientist fact checking it. And people are like, well, you're allowed to, there are two sides to what you believe. And there isn't.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but everyone maybe says the like, binary well, of like right or wrong.
This person's entitled to what she thinks about it, but you're not if it's facts. Like that's what's
right.
Everything has just become equal weight and it just isn't how it works and it makes it insane. And you can tell I don't talk to a lot of people most days.
I'm curious to also figure out like at what point then they're able to trust something about science. Like you're using a microwave, you use Wi-Fi, you use a self. So like
you got a lot of vaccines.
If you're going to keep exploring that, you're eating processed food. At what point do you put your sort of lens or spotlight of suspicion on these other things? And if you're not, I'm trying to understand why you don't do it in those instances too, because you could open up all kinds of theories about many of the things that we have to interact with on a daily basis, not just medical advice or, you know, research, that at which point it goes, yeah, well, I trust that. Like, I trust AT&T. You know, like, I get that. Come on.
I trust corporations. Huh? I just don't trust this.
Right.
I think that the beginning and the end might have just been one loud man who's not around as much anymore telling people what to do and not do. I don't know.
Yeah. Although, you know, we covered that there was a lot of vaccine skepticism and resistance after the 1911 flu that killed more people than this one is. And they were just willing to like go door to door and be like, let me see the vaccine scar on your arm. All right.
Yeah.
You have to get the vaccine. Let me see your arm.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that anyone telling me what to do in any way is exactly the Holocaust. So,
right.
Oh, are you a European historian?
Right. Yeah. Well, I did my own research, and
where was that? Where did you do your research?
I wrote this down. I wrote what I just said down.
I wrote my feelings down on the back of this right. Arby's receipt.
But that is like, it just has become so, like, history is now weaponized in an inaccurate way. And simultaneously, people believe it didn't happen. And also that it's the reason we can't do that. It's like,
yeah,
I just feel crazy. And so, you know, that's why sometimes I'm like, let's get rid of the nuance and make everybody get it. But you do feel a little weird saying that.
Yeah.
You feel weird that's, saying that. Yeah.
And it's just because we've never been at it and lived like this before where we're looking at some biological phenomenon. We're like, you know, this is going to take radical action to actually keep people safe. And when people just aren't used to that or don't have the mind for any kind of like reciprocity or sense of community or owing something to each other or feeling part of a larger community, then people suddenly immediately go into their self-interested corners and figure out whatever rationale lock onto whatever rationalization they need to preserve. They're like, well, I don't want to do this because of this.
Yeah.
Right.
I love when people tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I get more time to do other stuff.
Well, that's because you're a sub.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I was going to say that. I was going to let you know that you're a sub. Like, just from the start, I just wanted to, make sure you knew.
Now both tell me I am at the same time.
Well, hold on now. That's not very submissive behavior, fam.
You're right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about what's happening right now.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melanin Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. And what happened with Cuomo? I've been gone for the past week and a half.
I mean, everything. It you all seems like things.
You were in New York. You didn't hear them shouting from the windows, "Hey, I'm governor!
Hey! Hey!
I was kicking it with him, but he wasn't really bringing it up. He didn't seem like...
He just kept talking about that book deal he eked out at the last second right, amidst the pandemic and how to, you know, obscure death counts in elderly facilities, elder care facilities. But
yeah,
look, in case, and I know, Jack, you're being serious, so I will explain what happened. So Andrew Cuomo, he's the governor of New York, and he's been embroiled in a sexual harassment scandal. Tish James, the attorney general of the state of New York, released last week a scathing report with all the findings. It was essentially saying, like, it arises to criminal sexual harassment at state and federal level. And I think at that point he was like, because the thing is, everyone was like, this is bad. I wonder if he's going to resign. And he went down a fucking weird road on his way to resigning. First,
hold on, I haven't been following this, but did he go with my parents taught me to be handsy?
Kind of.
And then here's a highlight of
he was sort of like, I'm not perverted, I'm Italian, I believe was was one slug that we saw on TV.
My hands are just flopping and flipping. I don't know what they're touching.
What a natural progression.
It's like a perverted Bart Simpson of like, I'm just going to walk this way and grab whatever comes into my hands.
What do I do with these hands? If they clasp like this and there's something there, I can't do anything about it. So he had these, like, first of all, his lawyers said some real dumb shit that they're like, do you think that the governor would actually molest someone in the governor's mansion where he is constantly being observed? That would be absolutely ridiculous behavior. That was like their defense. And most people were like, right, that is ridiculous behavior. And that's what he's engaged in. So I don't think that negates. Okay, sorry. Then he did the mixtape. He put out the mixtape of him violating people's personal space where he was like, I do it all the time. In an attempt to try and dodge the accountability. And then Pelosi, Joe Biden, they were like, hey, you need to give it up. His close, his executive assistant, who's also kind of implicated in this shit, Melissa DeRosa, she resigned. Then Brittany Camiso, who was another person who worked for him, she gave up her anonymity to come out and bring more allegations and then demand that he be held accountable. And just when you thought the state legislator's like, I guess we're going to have to impeach him because he's not doing the right thing, he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, finally. I mean, didn't he also like listed off like every different kind of person that he's molested? He was like, I've molested old people, young people,
young people, black,
fat people, short people, blank. If you got skin, I've touched it, baby. Like,
if there's a parade for yous, I touched you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, in defense of himself. And you're like, buddy, this is none of this is
not the defense you think it is.
No. Yeah. And, you know, I think all of it came together. He realized the jig was well and truly up. Like, there's no way you're going to dodge this. And I think the other thing, too, was that the people, you know, Democrats, too, they were like willing to impeach him and not only just look at this like explosive report, but they're also like, you know, we also are really curious about the nursing home deaths in New York that you did a good job of covering up. And I think that created a bit of a log jam for him, realize that he didn't maybe want that public, but there's a lot of stuff that it's just weird how much this shit swung because last year motherfuckers were so horny for this dude. It was like, yo, I wonder if he's chill and has nipple rings. Remember when that was some shit we were talking about? It's like, yo, does Andrew Cuomo got nipple rings under there?
he's like a
really looked like it though.
He's like a governor that fucks. He seems cool as shit. And you're like, yeah, unfortunately, yes, that's the problem.
Right. And I think his like reasonable guy bit looked really good when it was set against the backdrop of Trump's absolute absurd handling or mishandling of the entire pandemic. So we had these Cuomo tinted glasses on. I think most people were like, this still is not great.
Well, the media really wanted to paint him as the savior. Because they also were like, I mean, at that point, too, they were also like, anybody that keeps Bernie Sanders out of the White House, maybe Andrew Cuomo will be the answer.
Right.
I do love fucking Joe Biden being like, you touch a lot of people inappropriately, you're going to need to resign, buddy.
Yeah. And a sexual harassment allegation. I think you should resign. I'm sorry, Joe?
Do you remember
Tara Reid? Or is this, we're being really selective here.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing that was really wild too. Like, this also got people in the Time's Up organization caught up.
Yeah.
Roberta Kaplan, who's one of the founders of Time's Up, you know, is like that group that was created at like the height of the Me Too movement to sort of act as this organization to provide legal advice and representation for people who were being harassed at work. You know, she argued the same-sex marriage case in front of the Supreme Court. She resigned after it was revealed in this report that she was advising Cuomo's office on how to publicly discredit Lindsay Boylan, who was one of his accusers.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris. And again, this is the same Time's Up. They say, oh, sorry, Tara Reid, we can't help you because we don't want to lose our nonprofit status by going after someone who's running for office. And I feel like a lot of things were revealed very like quickly with just, it's not just Andrew Cuomo, but a lot of the failings of, you know, these other organizations as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, as long as I agree with your politics, then, you know, then you can't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
It's infuriating. And it's also just like, it really undermines, there are a lot of really good nonprofits out there, but so many nonprofits also serve as a place that the will of the people and the energy of the people just like get sucked up into and stop because they exist to like just serve the status quo in a lot of ways. And it's really frustrating, especially with something like this. It's like how many, you know, Time's Up, like Me Too things have like just died because, you know, they're like, okay, well, that organization is on our side and they're taking care of it. And it's like, not really, because they are ultimately beholden to the power that they agree with.
Right. And also that's the class that they're from, too. These are all elite people who are the founders of the organization. And at the end of the day, like when you're fundraising, that's part of being a nonprofit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of navigating you have to do. And it's not just Roberta Kaplan who had like, you know, this kind of stuff come out. There was an also thing, Esther Chu.
Mm-hmm.
She was also like, there were 18 members of like this healthcare organization. They're like, yo, you just failed to report a sexual harassment claim at the hospital that you worked at.
Yeah.
So it definitely goes to show you the limits of sort of what some organizations can do, especially when you think of like how the leadership is composed, because they're, you know, looking out for each other essentially.
Yeah. It's like class will never betray itself at a certain level.
Right.
Unfortunately. And that's a lesson.
It will help smear an accuser.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
The neoliberal sort of centrist position has just been the status quo for so long that it just fucking infects everything that is not like, does not define itself in opposition to it. And so.
Well, and it also points out, I think, something that has always been an issue with the Me Too movement and Time's Up is also like, there is no element of like restorative justice. There is no second step, which also makes it so hard, I think, to like, once somebody has been accused, then they get canceled and then go away. But these organizations have never been like, okay, well, how do you make amends? Like, what is the way to still exist in a society with these people in some capacity? If that removing them, is that like, you know, there needs to be a second step acknowledged. And they just have never wanted to talk about that next step because they're also all financially comfortable. And they also don't think that it will ever affect them directly, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. So it's always had like a second problem. And it's especially true in cases like this, because it's like, we can't cancel Cuomo because then we won't have him as a pawn on our board anymore.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah. Now New York has their first woman governor
because
of this. And the other thing is just like the couple of things that a lot of people point out in our absolute love affair of the guy who sat down in front of PowerPoint presentations every day to be like, this is where we're at and this is what we're trying to do. There are a lot of things that he did that people just sort of overlooked. Like he was first kind of being like, nah, the pandemic's not going to be that bad, saying, you know, underplaying the severity of it. Also just didn't want to lock the city down. I think, you know, that's would have happened to any leader because they were not full. I mean, it is what that is. But yeah, definitely a misstep. But then in March of 2020, what like ordering that nursing homes accept COVID patients from hospitals. That was a huge disastrous fuck up.
That was the first act of the cover up of nursing home deaths that I hadn't like fully let enter my brain of as like part of that story. But that was why he was so, it wasn't just like keeping New York's numbers low. It was because he made a controversial decision to let people who were leaving hospitals due to COVID related things back into nursing homes. So it was like covering his ass for an earlier highly questionable decision.
Well, and it's infuriating because, like, I mean, we have how many empty apartment buildings are there in New York right now? I mean, I look around LA, I can't imagine it's probably comparable to how many just like fancy high rises just are open. How many hotels? Yeah. Nobody was in hotels. There's no reason you couldn't accommodate a hotel and put people in that for like recovery. It's a capitalist plants taking care of itself.
Well, right. Yeah, because it's like the with like this sort of neoliberal thinking, the charity only works to a point, and that's when it could potentially cause a business owner, like a mega business corporation, some they're like, well, they're not paying. Like, what? That's not our problem. And like, we need that fundamental shift where people go, no, it is all of our problem, actually. Because that's, we're trying to have a just society. So we have to figure out how to support each other and make sacrifices.
Won't someone think of the Hiltons? Won't someone think of the Hiltons?
Exactly. I mean, wasn't one of them recently was like, she's like, she almost died of bee stings, for God's sake. So please.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously,
anaphylaxis is not a joke, but please think of the Hilton.
The Delta variant is shown to be more deadly and more infectious with children than any version before. FDA administrators are starting to sound the alarm, and it's I think they're Pfizer's planning to submit data for kids under 12 to the FDA in September, at which point it will need to go through the approval process. So like that's as soon as we're going to be able to get kids to even have the option to get vaccinated. So it's just, this is the point at which, you know, this whole thing, I just feel like we've been watching somebody have an embarrassing temper tantrum for the past 5 years, just over and over, and just waiting for them to shut the fuck up. And now they're starting to like put kids at risk. And I don't know. I don't know the answer, but
we'll have to see the math on whether it was like the kids versus the Dow Jones. You know what I mean? What's more important?
Right.
If it's like two kids per point, you got to then be like, you know, what were the kids' test scores and do we care about them?
Right.
And you know, figure out if it's okay if they live.
It's and their versus, future you know, profitability.
The NASDAQ, which affects me, and I know you guys on a daily basis, we can't really let that go. If that goes down, that's bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I sound down in the dumps, it is because of my NASDAQ portfolio.
Yeah. You're putting the Dow and down on the dumps, you know?
Yeah.
My endorphin levels are tied to the stock market.
Right. I got a Robinhood referral that I'm really hoping pays off. So if these kids die, I mean, who really is that on?
Yeah. It's everything that you see, like but from especially Republican governors, you don't know, like, if they understand the concept of the value of human life. Or like what it would mean for a parent to like lose their child to this, like because there's not that's almost that thought process is completely absent from this decision making. Like Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas seems to be the one like one Republican governor who's like, I fucked up, like not in those harsh words, but he's definitely like voicing regret over certain things that has happened. Not to say that excuses anything, but. On some level, it feels like for him, he's like, yeah, it's kind of hard to like keep this up. Like it's getting bad, folks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you see that this, you know, mindset is now seeping into the realm of parents trying to protect their children. I mean, I feel like that's probably where we're going to see more people start coming to the side of like, we need more mandates, we need more vaccines, because it's one thing when you feel like, well, I'm an adult and there was like this fallacy of like, and kids are immune, so we're good, like that's not a danger. But now when you're seeing that cases for kids are going up and up and up, and you have doctors like in Florida like crying in these PSAs like because they're trying to tell people like it's getting bad and we're seeing more kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's lawsuits right now where parents of disabled students are like suing the governor to be like, my kids need to be protected. Like, I don't know what the fuck you think this is. Like, it's not a game for me as a parent.
Right.
But
I even find like people who are like, when you're talking about how this, a lot of this is a fallout of like hyper-capitalism not being a viable solution. And the people who, let's say, like these people who hate masks and these people who want to ignore everything, even they are screaming about it because they're like, well, I have to drop my kid off at school because I have to go do this work. And I want to take these people and be like, so you are so close.
Right.
You are like, I need school to have no changes because otherwise I can't do my job in life. I require it. You're so close to being like, so yeah, we need to just get rid of this. This system is what is holding a lot of this back as well.
Yeah.
The fact that you, without school, you will lose your job because you can't go in because you have to take care of your kids. And these are people who are like, so that's why we shouldn't wear masks. And I'm like, but you're just so, you're so close.
Yeah. And
you are right at the door.
The most propagandized people on the planet, you know, live in this country. So it's just, they're so close, but they're in like, it seems like an impenetrable bubble that they've swapped out their capitalism frustrations with COVID frustrations and are just like, no, that's the problem. It's not that
displacement, baby.
Yeah, there's nothing. Shout out to Freud. There's nothing like that to, you know, there's nothing that's connecting the dots because it's just been so effectively hijacked with like this, you know.
And I'm not smart enough to, like, even what I'm trying to talk, I don't feel like I'm fully getting across what I think even now while I think about it, let alone if I'm trying to talk to someone I know who I think maybe I could get through to. I don't know. I feel frustrated about it. And I think a lot of people do where you're just like, you just want to be like, no, like, but that's not enough. But you're like, give me 6 hours and let me find smarter people. But I can't even, I get frustrated with myself. Like, I can't explain well enough now the ideas and how I feel about it and how, and all this sort of stuff. And
the one time I got into it with like a guy who was just like, I don't know, man, there's been I've heard from a lot of people who said, like, I just couldn't be like, I know it's not a effective way to win an argument, but I just like got so pissed off. Just like, it was just over like immediately.
But it's the most important thing I know it wasn't in the doc, but if one NFL player kneels during the anthem this year, I am going to
I'm gonna be so fucking pissed. Hey, real quick, do you think Joe Biden said when he saw that his infrastructure bill got 69 votes, do you think he said nice? No. That's something I need to know.
He would never 69. He doesn't know what that is.
Okay.
He'd be like, what? 60 what? Can you imagine explaining that to Joe Biden? Oh, come on, Jack. People don't do that gross stuff. Put your mouth down there. Okay. What are you, a veterinarian?
Right, it's not an ice cream cone.
He definitely, he pulled off his bipartisan fucking magic show. And like, the Washington Post is like, Joe Biden stuns again. He surprises us again with his bipartisan infrastructure framework. Yeah, it got 69 votes. It got over that filibuster proof. You know, got to get over that 60 vote mark. And at $1 trillion, the largest bill of its kind. 19 Republicans got on board. But don't worry, it's not for good reasons. I think many saw this as an opportunity to support, like, to throw their support behind something that just broadly polls well. It's like, hey, man, you want less fucked up roads? You want a bridge? You want a better airport? Okay, good.
Right. I mean, there's still people who think that's what the government's whole purpose is, a pothole. You know what I mean? They're like, look at this, a pothole outside my building, fucking Obama. Government.
Yeah, like, exactly. And so that was definitely like a plus for them. Like, okay, I can vote for this because it's also popular. And also the 19 that supported it, they were kind of like in this place where they felt a little bit more insulated from like the MAGA outrage mobs of constituents that would normally be like the force that is like, no, actually I can't because Trump is yelling at us to not support this because he doesn't want Biden to have an optics win. But I think the real reason behind it is that they wanted to pretend bipartisanship works to sort of take the fucking momentum out of the filibuster reform talk that's happening right now. Because if they do that and go, you see, like, we figured it out. We did a $1 trillion. We voted for that. But then we have this $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill that has the real shit in it, like the real, real big programs that people are like saying like, yeah, this is the kind of investment we need in people, that they can come around for that time. Like, oh, this is too much. This is too much. You saw, we were able to do that, but this stuff, there's a line with it. And don't say it's not bipartisanship, because we were there for that vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're sort of loading the whole deck for that kind of showdown. Because right now, yeah, this $1 trillion thing goes to the House. Pelosi says, we're not going to vote on it until you also pass the $3.5 trillion bill and see what happens then. But already we have like Joe Manchin on his fainting couch being like, I don't know. It's a lot of money. So there's a lot of work to be done. And it's just, again, frustrating because maybe they'll figure it out. But yeah, still nothing on voting rights.
Look at what happens when Democrats like actually take the filibuster like seriously. That scares them. And I just feel like this is Democrats behaving like Republicans in the good way, that it's like shrewd and just forcing people's hand a little bit.
I wish. Mm-hmm. I wish they were like that all the time.
Yeah. That would be.
I think about the, I don't know, I get freaked. I think about the filibuster. I think about how the whole, I wish we could just take a look at it. Like, would we invent this today? Right. Or is it just already here?
Or we just want these guys with wooden teeth, ghosts with wooden teeth, to tell us what we want from centuries ago.
If we came up with healthcare today and you walked into the room and you said, okay, first off, what's your job? I know you want to go to the doctor. I just have to know what you do for your job. How long have you been there? How often do you work?
Also, your job is now at least part-time dealing with a health insurance company.
Right. And and how little your job spends on you makes other people money.
Right.
Okay, so you guys are writing this all down. This is how healthcare is going to work. So you have to tell your doctor where you work so a company can talk to a company. That way, if you've paid every month, you can pay a little bit more. And then if you pay enough, you won't have to pay as much.
Right.
Sounds like a lot of paying.
Yeah, oh, buddy. And your taxes are the same. Well, it's a good question, though, in the back. Good question in the back. Your taxes, we have 30 helicopters that need to circle Atwater Village. So we got to keep those up. Or would someone just say, maybe taxes make people feel better?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think the same with the filibuster. If you're writing it all out now, what if one guy is loud? I don't know. That's an episode of Smart Guy.
Can ruin it all?
This isn't what this is.
Right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about important stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, There's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. So, guys, since you've been coming on Daily Zeitgeist, you've gone from having a podcast that looked at Britney Spears' Instagram and kind of you guys suspected something was strange was going on to like basically starting the Free Britney movement to like being proven right and it becoming like this global movement. Can you just talk a little bit about like sort of the journey and where you're at right now in that process?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a totally wild ride. I've been trying to talk about it on stage because it like feels like I should, but it's so hard to talk about because it's just so complicated.
Right.
And I was thinking like, you know, people always say like, man, if you could talk to your like, you know, 13-year-old self and be like, look what you did. You got, it's like my 13-year-old self would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I don't even understand what you mean.
Social media?
Yes, like, social media, a conservatorship? Like what?
Probate law?
Yeah.
Girl, you're not getting a mess with probate law.
So yeah, it's just a very surreal, you know, experience. But basically, yeah, since we, you know, released an episode in April 2019, when we had gotten like a whistleblower voicemail saying that Britney was being held in a mental health facility against her will. That was the episode we released that we called Free Britney. And that kind of started off, you know, that movement. And then it snowballed into everything where the documentary came out and then more people got on board. And then Britney actually spoke in court, which then, you know, validified all of it. So yeah, it's been a very crazy ride, but now we're just happy that she spoke and that she's gotten it. You know, she had this really shitty court-appointed attorney for 13 years who basically didn't do anything, didn't tell her she could petition to get out of it, all this stuff. So now she has this new attorney who hopefully will be, you know, the big change that she needed.
And so what's like the latest? I know the last time I think we probably spoke about it was when we heard her speak and it was like, oh, shit. OK, yep. There it is. And then I think the last thing I read was that a judge sort of denied to like expedite her hearing, I think.
Yeah.
To have Jamie removed in the conservatorship role. Like, where are we? What are
we? Yeah. So unfortunately, yeah. So, I mean, I think if you paid attention at all to what she said, she was outlining like clear cut abuse. And it's a pretty emergent situation. So she got this new lawyer who's petitioned to get rid of the dad, which we think is probably a strategy. They have to get rid of him first and then terminate the conservatorship, because while he's still on board, then he gets to have his whole big team of lawyers helping him fight. So you kind of got to get rid of him first. So he petitioned to get rid of the dad. The mom signed on to that petition, as did the woman who's Britney's professional conservator right now. But the judge denied that petition to move forward the hearing. And basically his argument was like, look, yeah, my client feels like she's being abused. Every day that this happens is a problem. And it was totally within the judge's discretion to move that up. And she did nothing.
When she was being held in a, like, there are just these moments where in just reading about the story where it's like, oh, this is like straight out of a like dystopian sci-fi novel. And like,
yeah,
it's like The Handmaid's Tale, all of that shit just wrapped up in a massive reality. Can you just talk about like how, like when you first found out about that, like what are the kind of overall details? Because now you guys are doing this one that's like a retrospective or sort of deep dive into the whole situation. Like what are the things that were kind of the hardest to wrap your head around as you've just been going back through the whole thing?
So basically the Toxic, the podcast we're doing now, we go through, we like, you know, her early career and then just kind of like the first early signs of them trying to control her or trying to kind of, yeah, control her. And then we go up to the conservatorship and like the whole weekend that went down and that she got conserved. And just from day one, it's been, you know, unjust and illegal. I think, you know, they didn't get the capacity declaration that you're supposed to have when you conserve somebody. They planned it far in advance, her 50-150, which is not how that's supposed to work. It's supposed to be for emergency situations.
Wait, what do you mean? How do you plan? Wait, they planned the 51?
Yeah, yes. The LAPD was planning a route to her house for days.
Two days before, like as if they were running a marathon. They put up like barricades that were supposed to keep the paparazzi out. And they had like a whole route planned to get to the hospital 2 days ahead of time.
And the conservatorship itself had been planned as early as 6 weeks before she got conserved. And just, you know, there's a different kinds of conservatorships. And if she was going through some kind of mental health crisis at the time, they could have put her into the mental health conservatorship, which you renew every year because you're hoping the person gets better. She was put into probate, which is basically a lifetime one because of her money. So it's just like thing after thing that immediately from the bat, you're like, this is so insanely fucked up. And she tried to get her own lawyer back then and they said she didn't have the capacity. So she could have gotten out a long time ago if she'd actually been able to hire somebody, you know, she wanted.
Yeah, I think that's been the biggest discovery for me is just how much her lawyer was to blame for all of this. Because, I mean, she didn't have a chance without a lawyer that was willing to help her. I mean, she was expressing over and over again that she wanted to get out of this. And the only lawyer that she had access to was refusing to ask the court to do that. And they made it so when she first got conserved and they had that hearing where she tried to bring in her own lawyer back in 2008, they stipulated as part of her conservatorship that she wasn't allowed to meet with any other lawyers without the permission of her dad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the 6 weeks before thing is like, it makes it sound like it was all a conspiracy to like drive her to behave in a way that would allow them to like in the media seem like she was like needed them to take control. It seems like so complex and
yeah, I think evil. They definitely needed that narrative to get her into it, you know, in the first place. So, yeah. And the episode we have coming out next week will kind of catalog the last 13 years and her attempts in the background to get out. So I think that that's one of the biggest shocks. I mean, and you know it, obviously it makes sense that she was trying to, but just knowing she kept trying over and over and over.
And that's hard as a Britney Spears fan to just have been buying all these albums and going to all these shows and then looking back and knowing in retrospect, oh my God, that entire time she was like trying to claw her way away out of this situation.
Right. Yeah, she was like a prisoner while being one of the most famous people in the world. She was
And still is. I mean, that's the other thing is like, you know, everyone was so alarmed by her testimony, but that's now been almost 2 months ago. And the same people are still in power over her. The same people, I mean, her conservators can decide, obviously, who visits her. They hire her security. Those same people are still working for her. So that's the kind of like really frustrating thing, too, is like nothing really has meaningfully changed for her, except I guess she has her own attorney now. But
sure. And I mean, does it seem feasible that even though this motion to like sort of speed up the removal of Jamie Spears has been denied, that it's still possible, like that it's on the right track? Or there's still a lot of other, because it seems like they're hell bent on keeping her in this conservatorship. So, like, are they out of moves legally, or is it seems like a more of a when than an if thing?
I hope it's a when. Yeah,
I mean, without wildly legally speculating,
right? But, no, you know. I obviously we don't know, but I think the problem now is that everyone is trying to shift the blame, basically. So Jamie's trying to blame the professional conservator who's been around for a few years. They're trying to blame. They're all just blaming each other so that no one gets sued. But, you know, so
after this,
that's it's going to be a hard legal battle because everyone's trying to pretend it's not their fault, you know?
Yeah. And if the dad gets kicked out, then he's going to be liable for his own legal fees all of a sudden. So that's part of why he's clinging on for dear life, is as long as he stays the conservator, Brittany foots that bill.
Right.
But one thing that makes me optimistic is that this new attorney is like very Hollywood. Like he just has like a Hollywood swagger, and he's very like he's represented Steven Spielberg. So I think that A, he's going to act really aggressively. He already has been acting pretty aggressively. And B, like he's just going to want to save face. Like this is a really high profile case. And he has a reputation to uphold. Right. So I do think he's going to fight tooth and nail.
Yeah. And the public opinion is at this point is just like, yeah, this is open and shut. Get it done, man.
Exactly.
So, I mean, just kind of stepping back, the way you guys' way into this in the first place was her Instagram and like feeling like she was sending messages or like whether... you know, just through the circumstances you were seeing weird things. Like what is you guys' like feeling about her Instagram now? Like, do you think that she was actually like sending messages through the things that she was posting?
I mean, yeah, the Instagram has a lot of, questionable things about it as far as like people aren't sure if it's actually her posting because, you know, there's been investigations that have come up like, oh, it's other people who do post it and it gets sent through a filter. So it's not directly her. So there's a big question mark around it. When we were doing Britney's gram, we were just kind of taking it face value that it was her. And yeah, I think we started as a comedy podcast. It wasn't supposed to be like, let's dig in and see what she really means behind these messages. It was more of just like a funny, we're doing it, you know, with a sense of humor, digging in too deep. But then that naturally turned into wait, what does she mean? Because she, we realized she's under these weird, you know, these constrictions. So what does it mean when she says, let me shop and no one gets hurt? Like, you know, so it kind of started as a funny look at it, but then got more serious. And then as we looked at the actual court documents involved, it was like, whoa, this seems really messed up. So yeah, it kind of, and so yeah, her Instagram is a mystery. I mean, lately, you know, it seems like it's her posting. She posted, there was a free Britney flag that she posted and she called it my flag. And she actually said the word conservatorship in an Instagram post recently. So it seems like she's maybe communicating a little bit more directly with it now, but we're not sure.
She definitely loves ice cream based on the last post.
Yes.
Yes. A lot of good food posts on Bee's Gram.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she also has like a long history of communicating to her fans. She used to write these things called her letters of truth back like in the early aughts where she would like get real on her website about what was going on. And I think knowing how restrictive her life was, you know, throughout the entire conservatorship, I don't think it's at all implausible that she was using that one outlet as a way to try to subtly pass messages on to people. I mean, she was doing crazier things than that to try to get her message out. So,
yeah. And I mean, the documentary that you guys are heavily featured in, that did it win I don't know. It's an award winning and like just an amazing documentary. If people haven't seen it, it's called Framing Britney by the New York Times, but it really makes you kind of recognize that just the sort of toxic masculinity that was like still is, but like especially during her rise to fame was like built into the culture and her just being the center of all this attention. Like she's been sort of imprisoned by that from the start. And then, yeah, it makes sense that she...
Yeah, it's really gross to just, when you look back at that footage of her and the paparazzi and just like 50 men around her at all times, like trying to catch any little mistake, anything.
Like goading her.
Yeah. And, you know, there's one part where we talked about her custody case was really intense, you know, her custody battle that was all going on in that era, 2006, 2007. And, you know, her KFED's lawyers would say that she was a, you know, have, what was it, Tess? Now I'm going to mess it up. They would use the driving.
Her driving with the baby.
Yeah, she would be, they used the fact that she was being hounded by the paparazzi as why she should have less custody. Like they faulted her for being followed by paparazzi as if she had any kind of control over that.
Yeah.
And then the paparazzi would like publish these really like lurid stories and Kevin's lawyer would call in people from, he would use the tabloids as a place to like find witnesses in the child custody case.
Yeah. I mean, by the end of just kind of that reexamination and just like everything that you guys have kind of uncovered and examined, it really starts to feel like she went sane, like in 2006. Yeah. Like she did finally, after like a lifetime of just bearing this inhuman weight of like everybody's attention, all these like really unhealthy expectations, she finally reacted the way that like I would have for like 30 minutes, and people are like, all right, that's it. We got a lot of
whoa, whoa. Yeah, yeah. See that? She said she's off this? No, right. No. Come on.
1,000%. Like, yeah. She always had the expectations of her were always ridiculous. You know, the expectation of her to be perfect. And that's what so many of her fans loved about her, was that she was not a perfect person. She was, you know, very raw and funny and just like didn't give a shit about like where, you know, wearing flip flops to the gas station or whatever, stuff that they would like make fun of her for. And it was also very classist. And
oh, yeah.
And that's what, you know, all those expectations were just put on her, and she just kind of had enough of it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And it's also, I think about this a lot too. Like another big piece of this tragedy is like, if she had just gotten famous like 2 years later, Instagram would have been invented, you know?
Yeah. Right. She might have been able to have that outlet instead of getting, yeah, stalked all the time.
Yeah. Well, and like with social media, the paparazzi kind of stopped being a thing. Like right. She was there kind of right at the tail end of the paparazzi being this really like aggressive force.
Well, and had to stop because they laws were enforced. You know, they couldn't do that anymore because of how they treated her. And yeah. So it's just, it's a really sad. I mean, I'm so grateful that there's like finally a light at the end of the tunnel for her, because when we started making it, we had no idea she was going to speak. You know, we just thought it was going to be business as usual, and she was going to be stuck with this lawyer forever and all that stuff. So that when she spoke, it was a shock to us. We had no idea that was going to happen, and it's really changed the game. So we're just hopeful that, yeah, she has a way out now.
Well, that's awesome. Keep doing the amazing work you guys have been doing, and thank you for doing all that work. It's really fucking cool and important. And yeah, thanks for being on TDZ today, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Blasting up the joint.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.